Yeah? Come on, you be honest. A little uncomfortable this morning for some of you? I don't mind awkward situations. I really don't. They don't bother me. I was probably a little more prepared than everybody else. And it really didn't bother me. And again, I really wasn't fearful for anything because, one, I'm in God's house. Two, if he did do anything like kill me, then that'd be okay too. And plus, he'd die too. And then he'd go where he's supposed to go too, because Mark would have took care of that real quick. So, I know it was uncomfortable. And there were some folks that even shared with me that they were even slightly a little afraid. And whether you guys realize it or not, the devil shows up quite regularly, okay? He does. Today, he just happened to have a face and a voice. And, Pastor, are you calling that man the devil? No, but he definitely had the spirit of the devil on him. There wasn't any Holy Spirit in that man. My hope was that could happen, but just because of the spirit of the day, I'm going to go ahead and continue on with the uncomfortable thing, and I'm going to make everybody feel a little uncomfortable tonight too, okay? Just a little heads up. We're going to talk about a subject that I really like. The terminology praise and worship is thrown around a lot today. And you will not find the term praise and worship together in the Bible. If you would, turn with me to Psalms chapter 138. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture tonight. I like looking at Scripture because it's the only place that I'm actually going to find the answers that I'm looking for, the answers that are really going to help me. And an amen goes right there, okay? And if you're looking anywhere else, let me just tell you, you got to dry it up well, and you ain't going to get anything out of it, okay? But if you go to the Word of God, it's deep, and it's got what you need, so you'll get the refreshment and the vitamins and the things that you need out of God's Word. It has the answers that you need. Psalms chapter 138, we're going to read just a couple verses here. This is a psalm from David. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The only place, the only Bible verse, one verse in the entire Bible that has the two words worship and praise in the same verse are right here. And I thought I'd show that to you, okay? Now, worship and praise are all through the Bible. Praise and worship are all through the Bible, but you'll not see that phrase together. Now, and I'm going to be honest with you, there's been times past when I heard the term praise and worship, and immediately would get, that's just wrong, and I would get all tied up, and that's just, I don't want to talk. There was folks I work with, and I wouldn't talk to them about it. I wouldn't even hear what they had to say because praise and worship, I can't even tell you why I felt that way. I can't. But we're going to look at some Bible tonight. We're going to look at some Webster's 1828 dictionary to define a few words. We're going to use Hebrew Strong Concordance. We're going to do a little bit of a Bible study tonight on the word praise mostly, okay? So you follow with me if you would, all right? First off, Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word, and now you all can pull out your Webster's 1828 if you got it on you, and you can look at these things, and I did skip a couple definitions that just do not pertain to any of the Hebrews definitions of the word praise, okay? I used a little of my discernment and letting God direct me to do those things. If you have a problem with that, don't tell me about it because I don't care, okay? So praise, as a noun, is the expression of gratitude for personal favors conferred, a glorifying or extolling. Praise is also the object or the ground or reason of praise, okay? God is our praise, to say, and we'll look at a verse that uses it in that context. Now, praise as a verb is to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify on account of perfections or excellent works, to express gratitude for personal favors, to do honor to display the excellence of. Now, that sounds like a very good definition of the word praise, doesn't it? Okay, and Webster does a very good job. And if you were to look that up, you would notice that after every one of the definitions that have to do with the Bible, guess what he uses to help define it? The Bible. That's why I like Webster's 1828 dictionary. It works very well with my King James Bible. All right, so now let's look at the word worship. Worship as a noun is chiefly and eminently the act of paying divine honors to the supreme being or the reverence and homage paid to him in religious exercises, consisting in adoration, confession, prayer, thanksgiving, and the like. As a verb, it's to adore, to pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect and veneration, to respect, to honor, to treat with civil reverence, to perform acts of adoration, to perform religious service. So those are the two definitions. And I would have to say, as we look through this, you're going to agree with me that praise is a physical thing. Okay? Praise is a physical thing. We're going to look at these different verses. I would like you to just follow along with me in your Bible, okay? Go with me to Genesis chapter 29 right now, please. Genesis chapter 29. I like first reference. I do. I like to go to the first reference in the Bible of a word and find out how it's used there because that's the way I was taught. If it's the wrong way, I don't know any other way. That's the way Pastor Groves taught me. It's a good way to study your Bible. It's a good way to let God's Word define God's Word. Yeah, you can use Webster's 1828. That ain't going to mess you up. All right, but a good way to define God's Word is to find out what God's Word said. Amen? Amen. So the first reference is in Genesis chapter 29, verse 35. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. Now, this is Leah, Jacob's wife. All right. She has had, I believe, her third son, fourth son. She had had her fourth son. All right. And she says, now I will praise the Lord. Now, this definition, this first reference is the first reference in using in the Old Testament literally means to throw one's hands up and hold them up in reverence of worship. Okay? That's what it says. That's what the Hebrews Concordance shows us. And that's what the definition word. The actual Hebrew word is yodah. Now, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Don't care. It's as good as it's going to get for you, okay? Yodah, okay, is the word. Now, it's also used in another book in verse in Genesis, in chapter 49, verse 8, where it says that in a prophecy of Jesus, Judah, and I just threw this one in here, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Now this is when Jacob is blessing his children, and a lot of the blessings that he's giving is prophecy, and he prophesies about Judah's line, because who came from Judah's line? Jesus Christ did. And so this was a prophecy of Jesus, okay? So that's first reference, all right? And those are the first two references of the word praise in the Bible. Now the second reference, go with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. And I'm going to do this with all nine different, there's nine different variations or applications to the word praise in the King James Bible in the Old Testament. We did not get into the New Testament because they're much the same, but Greek doesn't change things around as much as the Hebrew does in their definition. So it's much the same, a little more generically termed, okay? And we're just looking at the Old Testament tonight. We may go further into this Wednesday night, however the Lord leads. But Leviticus chapter 19, verse 24 says, but in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Lord withal. Now, this particular definition is a rejoicing celebration of thanksgiving for harvest. Okay? This is a rejoicing celebration of thanksgiving for harvest. Now, this isn't one that we tend to use a whole lot as far as how we think, but I would say to you that your tithe is an object that you praise with. It's something that you praise with. This is what this is to do with, all right? So, now that word is called hilul. Hilul, all right, the Hebrew word is. And that's what it's for. Now, it's not used a lot. It's not used a lot throughout the Old Testament. There are 192 times the word praise is used in the Old Testament with nine different variations, okay, and that's what we're looking at. So Deuteronomy is the next one. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 20 and 21. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Now this particular definition is a laudation or a hymn. Now this one is used a lot, all right? This one is used a lot throughout the Old Testament as a laudation or a hymn. A laudation is to laud someone, to glorify someone, okay? And what? In a hymn. Now we all know what a hymn is, right? It's songs about him. Amen? Help me out a little bit, all right? I'm going to force you guys later, just so you know. That's where we're going to get into the uncomfortable part. Thank you. Thank you, crazy. All right. The fourth reference is found in, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't give you the Hebrew. The Hebrew is tikhilah. I'm really bad at Hebrew when it gets to the really hard consonants. It's tikhilah. Tikhilah is the Hebrew for that one. And that's a laudation or a hymn. Next, go to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5. Now, so far, every one of these has been a physical thing. All right, something that you do physically. To laud someone, you do verbally. In your mouth is something that is physical. To give of a tithe, to give of an offering as praise, that is something physical. And to throw your hands up in the air, that's definitely physical. Amen? All right. So, Judges chapter 5, verse 2. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. This is to kneel and bless God. To kneel and bless God. And the Hebrew word is balrech. Balrech. Okay? Now, this is another physical thing. There's different aspects of praise here. Amen? Different aspects of praise. And this one is to kneel and to bless God. Go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I know some of you are knocking the dust off your Bible tonight. Amen. Thank you, Amber. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Now, this one is probably going to rub a lot of us old fundamental Baptists the wrong way. Okay, this one is to clearly boast and to be clamorously foolish in celebrating of God's glory. This is to clearly boast and to be clamorously foolish in celebrating for God's glory. Now, this one is done by people all the time for someone else's glory other than the Lord. It is. You ever been to a ball game? Matter of fact, there's a couple of these. I think I've seen about every one of these at a ball game. We'll just keep going, though. I'll get to that in a minute. Go with me, the Hebrew word for this one is halal, halal. And now this is one of the most predominant in the Psalms. When you go through Psalms, you will see this Hebrew word of praise used predominantly in Psalms. Now let's go to Psalms, Psalms chapter 9. We're going to look at a few Psalms here. Psalms chapter 9. Everybody with me? Amen. Verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Now this one is striking fingers on strings or parts of a musical instrument to play upon for music accompanied by a voice. This one is also used predominantly in Psalms, used greatly in Psalms as a matter of fact. And you'll almost always see this one with the word sing or song around it, okay? And that's this praise. The Hebrew word for it is zalmar, zalmar. And it, again, is used a lot in Psalms. Now go with me to chapter 50, Psalms chapter 50. verse 23, and it says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." Now, this one is more of a congregational thing. It's a choir of extended worshiping hands and a sacrifice of praise. This is something that is done in a group. Okay, this is something that's done in a group. And the Hebrew word for it is tudah, tudah. Okay, and it's also very predominant in Psalms. Now go to chapter 63. Chapter 63. I've seen that at a lot of ball games too. An entire congregation of people with their hands up in the air. All right. Verse 3 of 63 says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Now this, Hebrew for praise, is to address in a loud voice. To address in a loud voice. Another one that might be a little hard for some folks, although I've seen this at a ball game as well. And the Hebrew for word is shalbek, shalbek. And this one is used in Psalms frequently. Now the last one, and this one also has some of a Chaldean twist to it, this particular book of the Bible has a lot of Chaldean in it, and it's used completely different. But the Hebrew in it is used two times, and that's in Daniel, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel had just been shown great mercy through something because of the stand that he had took. We talked about this a few weeks ago. And in verse 23, he is praising God. He says, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." He had been asking God for the dream. Remember, he asked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to pray with him. And God answered his prayer, so he praises him. And this particular word is to adulate, to adore. This one is a very worship-minded word for praise. And the Hebrew for it isn't far from the last one, which was shalbek. This one is shebek. Shebek. Now, those are the nine different variations of the word praise that you'll find throughout the Old Testament. Every one of them are a physical thing. The only one that even comes close to more of a spiritual worship type thing is the very last one. But every one of these, I have done myself other than doing it for the Lord. Every one of these I have done in a ball game. And I'm going to go back, and the very first one is to literally throw one's hands up. Has anybody ever been to a ball game just throwing your hands up in excitement? Yeah? It doesn't even have to be a good ball game. It could just be like Little League or something. I've done it at Little League. All right? Yeah? Okay. Let's see. Another one is, a rejoicing celebration of Thanksgiving. This is a giving. Concession stands, ticket prices. We do this one too. We'll do it for things that we like. All right. Then there was the laudation or a hymn or just to laud someone verbally. Okay. If anyone has ever talked to me about my Chicago Bears, then you've definitely heard me laud them, haven't you? Not much this year, but you know. Did I get an amen out of that? All right. And then the fourth one, to kneel. Well, this one I've definitely done a lot this year is I fall on my knees and cry, "Why? Why are the Bears so bad?" Okay, so a little bit different of a praise. Not really a good praise, but I thought I'd fit it in there. So this last one, my goodness, am I guilty of this one at a ball game and stuff. To clearly boast and to be clamorously foolish in celebrating for God's glory or for someone's glory. But boy, that one's kind of hard for us to do in a church, isn't it? Isn't it? As a matter of fact, if someone does do it, we get a little uncomfortable, don't we? Oh, come on. We do. Now, not everyone can do this one. Striking fingers or string on a strings or parts of a musical instrument. Not everyone can do that one, but that definitely is at ball games and stuff too. My goodness, there are songs. They play the same song at every different type of sporting event it is. There's always the same song. But anyways, those are different things. But all these things are areas where we can praise God. And all these things are areas that we should praise God. The Bible says that praise is comely for the upright. Y'all remember Brother Buddy Blunkall not that long ago came here? I like that point that he brought out. Because God got a hold of him one day because he wasn't praising the way that God wanted him to praise. He was. Now, praise is a physical outpouring of appreciation for what God has done, is doing, and will do in the life of his child. And praise is for people to see. Y'all know that? Did y'all know that? Your praise, the praise that you're supposed to be doing for your God, the one who has been good to you, the one who has saved you from your sins, the one who has given you favor upon favor upon favor, your job as a child of God is to praise Him. You are supposed to sometimes throw your hands up in the air and say, praise God. I had been working with this fella for a while, and he had a pretty foul mouth. And I'd found that it's kind of grating when you say, well, you shouldn't cuss around me. Bless God, I'm a Christian. So I quit doing that. And what I ended up doing was every time he'd let one rip, I would too. He'd damn the Lord, and I'd praise him. And so that's what I started doing. He'd say something, and I'd say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I started doing that on a regular basis. I don't know, it'd probably been a month or so, maybe a couple months, and we're out, and he let a vulgarity rip, using the Lord's name in vain. And I'm serious, folks. As soon as it left his mouth, he went, oh, praise the Lord. He threw his hands up and said, praise the Lord. It tickled me to death. So even the unrighteous can praise the Lord. And so he did. He praised the Lord. And, you know, it's not that hard of a thing. It really isn't. Matter of fact, we're going to practice a few of these tonight. Told you I was going to make you uncomfortable. I did. And praise is a physical outpouring of appreciation for what God... Are you appreciative of what God has done for you tonight? Oh, well, maybe. All right, well, the first one is a literal throwing up of one's hands and holding them up, not just, praise the Lord. Or then there's this. God's been good, all right? If you're happy about what the Lord has done for you tonight, throw your hand up in the air. I just dropped something, didn't I? I didn't say throw your hands up in the air and wave them like you just don't care, Jeremy. All right. If you're really happy about what he's done, just go ahead and throw that other one up. Amen. Now hold them up there for a little bit. Right, just hold them up there for a little bit. You could even wave them around a little bit if you want. I mean, you don't have to like just do that. I don't want any dancing or anything. I mean, if you're going to dance, you got to dance with all your might. Okay? All right, so the next one is, well, we already gave the offering, so we'll go past that one. But how about the next one is a laudation or a hymn. How about everybody just shout out a laudation? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Most of y'all are sitting down, but I'm going to go ahead and do it, and I'll kneel and bless God. Praise God. Well, this takes a little bit of humbling, doesn't it? Yeah. And might even look a little foolish to a lot of folks. And, you know, we got one fellow that comes here. You can put your hands down if you want to. You can leave them up if you want to. It ain't going to bother me. We got one fellow that comes here. Boy, there's no doubt about the fact that he loves the Lord and praises him because he gets all clamorously type of foolish, doesn't he? He's only got one hand and one big mouth. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Danny. Do you guys ever doubt that he loves the Lord and what the Lord has done for him? Why not? Well, he has a physical outpouring of his appreciation for what God has done for him. Doesn't he? It's quite convicting to be around him sometimes, how he does that. Yeah, that whole clamoring foolishly about is something that we kind of... And listen, I'm not talking about acting stupid, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about acting stupid. This is all supposed to be done with a heart that's filled with what? With worship. See, the praise is for folks to see how we feel about God. The worship is for God to know how we feel about God. The praise is for folks to see our appreciation. The worship is God seeing our appreciation. Now, in the Old Testament, worship is either used for God or it's used for not God. There isn't 9 different variations or applications. There's one. There's only one. And it's the same definition for every time it is used in reference to the Lord God. And it means to depress or make low, to prostrate in homage to God, to make low humbly. So we've got all this stuff. I mean, listen, you ought to be able to clamorously, foolishly act about for God, but do it with a heart of worship. If you're doing it to get the attention of folks, you ain't getting God's attention. Maybe a little disgust in his mouth, all right? But we need to be able to praise and worship God and not let some terminology that has been taken, and I don't even know why. Seriously, can anybody tell me why it is, this is rhetorical, why it is that I felt like that when I heard the terms praise and worship? There's nothing wrong with praise and worship. There's nothing wrong with praising God and worshiping him. As a matter of fact, I've been commanded to do so. I've been commanded to do both as a child of God. Now, one of the avenues that is used greatly for this, for praise, and even for worship, is what? Music. Amen? And that's what Psalms mostly is music. So, I looked up music, and I wanted to get an idea of the Bible's definition of music, since it is one of the main avenues for praise and a useful avenue for worship. The very first reference is found in 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. The Bible says in verse 6, "And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet Saul, King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music." Now, this is just after the victory over Goliath. They're coming back into town after the battle is over. Goliath's dead. And they come into town, and the ladies are playing music, and they have tabrets, and there's joy, and they're lauding a couple men. So you might say, well, that's not a good rendition of, you know, what music is. Well, that's the first time it was used in the Bible, and it was used to laud someone. It was used to glorify, and it's where jealousy got put in the heart of Saul that day, because everybody said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. But the second passage is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Verse 16. 1 Chronicles 15, 16. "And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy." Sound of lifting up the voice with joy. So David here is setting up the Levites with music. He's given them the instruments to use, and they're to do it with the lifting up of their voice with joy. And he's doing this for the house of God. He's doing this for the worship of God. He's setting this up. Listen, David wrote about a bunch of psalms, didn't he? Amen? Well, man, isn't it nice to have... I mean, I like a cappella when you got harmonizing voices, but one person doing a cappella isn't near as enjoyable, isn't it, as when you got one person singing it with music, right? Amen? With some stringed instruments, right? Are y'all here? Amen? Amen. Okay. So that's the second reference here. And David is setting up the avenue to praise and worship God with the many psalms he had written and would write. Now the third one is the most applicable and the one that I really want us to look at. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Second Chronicles chapter 15. I'm sorry, chapter 5. I look down without my bifocals, it's 15. I look down with my bifocals, it's 5. And we're going to read three verses. Verse 12. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Sounds like a pretty good orchestra, don't it? Amen? It came even to pass, as the trumpeteers and the singers were as one, that means they were doing things in unison, it was all in unison and in order together, amen? To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, that seems like a really short song, doesn't it? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Seems like a really short song, doesn't it? You know another term that I've heard, and I've heard it put in bad context? 7-Eleven. Y'all ever heard that term, 7-Eleven music? Come on now, anybody? Am I the only one that's ever heard that term? Yeah, you heard that term, 7-Eleven music? Say the save seven words 11 times till the Spirit shows up? That's what I've heard, and I've heard it put in a bad context. I wonder, I know this is more than seven. Let's say it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 words. Now, I don't think it was a 10-word song. I don't. I think it was 10 words that they just kept repeating. But let's look what happened when they did that. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I think that means God showed up. You think that's what that means? I think that's what that means. Now we can kind of see here what God thinks about praise and worship at his house. He likes it. It makes him show up. We'll get a little down to the nitty-gritty here. I hate that we don't have a piano player. I mean, I hate it. I hate it. And poor Brother Tom, he is doing the best he can with plunky-plunk soundtracks, because that's what we got, ain't it? Plunky-plunk soundtracks. I'm serious, what a friend. If they'd have played that any slower tonight, it would have been going backwards. Okay, and I love What a Friend We Have in Jesus. That's one of my favorite hymns. Love that song. You know, it's important how music's put together. It really is. It's important how it's orchestrated and played in unison. The quartet did a song back with Pastor and Miss Jennifer. We did a song, Sin Will Take You Farther. Remember that song? Great message to the song. Wanted to blow my brains out every time we sang it. Just being honest, it was boring. I mean, it was boring. And I'm going to tell you something. God's music ought not be boring. And I know that our music is boring sometimes in here during the congregational singing. But it's not his fault. It's not. It's not his fault. I know we don't have great soundtracks, and I know we don't have a piano player, but praise comes from a people who are glad about what God has done for them. That's where praise comes from, okay? It don't come from a soundtrack. It don't come from even the music. You can have we could have a 1,000-piece orchestra here, okay? And the greatest guy that directs orchestras, composer, got it, okay? The greatest composer in the world here. And if your heart isn't where it ought to be between you and God, you aren't going to have praise then either. You're not. Now, but the fault does lie a little bit here. It does. I've sat here too long and just let this plunky plunk go on. I have. And it is driving me crazy. And I'm trying, folks, I have tried. And I try to get into it. But I'm not going to lie. It would help a lot more if we had something more than plunking. Listen, when we had the missions conference and Brother Todd came over here and played the piano, oh my word, that was wonderful, wasn't it? It was wonderful. All we needed was some strings getting plucked. That's one of the praises, wasn't it? That's one I'm using a lot in songs. And I know we got a couple folks that can play guitars here, but it's just not enough. It's just not enough. So y'all pray for me. I'm looking. I'm looking for something. Something that we can do so that I want God to show up. Y'all want God to show up? Listen, you know what else I want? I want folks to come here and hear us praising and worshiping God, okay, and want to be involved in it, and I sit there and go, hey, I'm up here. I see, okay? I do. I see. And let me tell you something. Most of our visitors are like, and they're trying to get into it and trying to, but I know it's hard with the plunky plunk, and I know it's hard, okay? I know it is. But it's even harder when you got a bunch of people sitting there going, what a friend we have. Hey, did you see what we did over there when we were looking at that one thing? It's what we do. It is. And folks, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not. But I want God to show up! I do. I want Him to be here. I want Him to be here. I want Him to want to be here, and He don't want to be here with a bunch of dead people. He don't. I got Bible. He wants to show up. He wants to show up. James and Zach, come here, please. You get that side. You get that side. There's a passage that God really used to help open my eyes to some things. Don't get all fearful, okay? Just listen to me, okay? The Bible says in Psalms chapter 33, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. You know what comely means? Beautifully, beautiful, accepted, okay? Praise is comely for what praise? Every bit of praise we just talked about, all right? Every bit of praise, every different application and variation of praise that we just talked about, it's acceptable. It's beautiful. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery, an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him with a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, loud and clamorous and even foolish to some. But we need to get into it, man. We need to get into it. All right, so I don't have any music right now. I don't have piano. I don't have any soundtracks. I don't have it. But I've got some musical voices here. I've got folks that know how to sing, okay? And the Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord, even if you ain't got a beautiful voice. These are some really good songs right here, okay? I like these, okay? These are in Psalms, and these have praise in them, and they have worship in them, okay? And this is some good stuff, okay? And if you know this one, I want you to sing along with me. I will call upon the Lord. What? Is that high? I did that because I didn't want to start in the basement, okay? Because I'm in the basement. How about this? I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will call upon the Lord. All right, everybody stand up. Now, I want this side to start with me, okay? Y'all be quiet. I'll come over to you in a second, okay? I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Keep singing. I will call upon the Lord. Okay, y'all know what rounds are? All right, we got to do this together now, okay? And I think I started y'all too late, didn't I? Okay, I did. Y'all know what we're doing then? All right, y'all follow then. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will call upon the Lord. Now finish. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Anybody die yet? Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Now, won't you just get into it a little bit now? All right? Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Supposed to do it with a loud voice. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. You know, you're supposed to make yourself a fool for the Lord. It might be a foolish thing to raise your hand up. But you know, that's the first part of the praise that we looked at tonight, is raising up your hands. Nay, even throwing them up. With me now. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. In the mountains of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, in the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now, let me tell you something. It's really beautiful to hear y'all sing. And whether it did anything for you or not, it did something for me. And that's what happens, see. You'll come in here and you'll start to praise God a little bit from your heart. And you're going to be a blessing to somebody else. And you might encourage them in your praise to start to praise a little bit. And maybe even one day you might just decide to just be a fool for God. And sing loud and raise up your hands. God said to do it with a loud noise. It may be noise, but if it's praising him, it's comely. It's comely. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The altar's open. I don't know what God said to you, but I know this. We've been commanded to praise him. We've been commanded to worship him. And listen, folks, it's hard to get up and preach here to a bunch of people that are just cold-hearted. And I know you're not coming in here wanting to be cold-hearted. I know that's not your intent. I know that. That's why we try and have song service. That's the intent of it, is to get our hearts a little closer to God. If we'll praise him and worship him, then it gets our hearts a little closer to him, and we get a little warmed up, and maybe we want to hear a little bit of what he has to say.